Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I am Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christofferson. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're both kind of sad because we're big Norm MacDonald fans, and it's passed away.
Yeah, I am very, crushed by that. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's only 61 years old. I had really, and you get this because I think you follow him too. You sort of got used to seeing him on majors on Saturday and Sunday with his, like, way behind the action, all caps golf tweets. He lives on forever in terms of YouTube with all of his appearances on Conan and some of his stand-up bits, and of course on Netflix where he had he had a couple recent stand-up specials and his TV show. I don't know that there are a lot of people that have had that large of an effect on my sense of humor in the way that Norm MacDonald has. So it's a sad day. I don't know that I'm surprised, but he's clearly someone who a lot of people, the comedy resonated with, or they have fond memories of him, whether it's from SNL or the Dirty Work or whatever else. But he's certainly someone that is being celebrated today, as he should be.
I did not appreciate his humor till later on. I didn't like when he was on SNL. I didn't think he was that funny, and now I love like watching his old like Weekend Update stuff and just how much he like picked at people. I mean, even stupid jokes like, you guessed it, Frank Stallone, you know, where he would always bust that out. I think Norm MacDonald would have found good humor in the Fox ad, as I segue, for Nebraska's the preview for Nebraska-Oklahoma. I think that would have tickled his funny bone as a man in a tractor makes his way to Norman for this weekend tilt at Owen Field.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's leave Norm MacDonald where he is, dive into this Nebraska-Oklahoma game. Obviously, Nebraska really, you know, if they'd won that game against Illinois, it'd be a little bit different. But frankly, coming off the last 2 weeks, they're flying about as high as they could right now. I mean, as you know, they had two pretty complete games against Fordham and Buffalo, they still have plenty of their own issues to figure out. But, Brian, you have to feel good about at least where Adrian Martinez is. And someone like Samari Toure, who is certainly going to be counted on as Nebraska goes into a game against Oklahoma where they have a bevy of weapons. And Nebraska still has to figure out what they have. But the last couple of weeks, they found something there with Toure and with Martinez.
Yeah, Adrian's played well the last 2 weeks. I know he's always going to have skeptics until he – you know, he's going to have to do it against, you know, like weekends like this against teams like the Sooners and, you know, Big Ten play. But he really bailed his team out. He bailed his offensive line out a few times in that game. It was starting to get in a nervous territory there kind of midway through the second quarter, and you're about to give up a 10-yard sack and punt the ball. And instead he basically turns it into a touchdown for Nebraska on a 71-yard run. I mean, it's plays like that that – whatever you think about sort of the roller coaster ride that is you're sometimes on with him, you know, not everyone can make that play. So you have to stand up and appreciate it. I thought he played a poised game. I thought, you know, when he did sort of pull his like Brett Favre like tricks or whatever you want to call it, it was always done on Saturday in sort of a smart manner, like when he flipped that pass out to Hickman. Yeah. There was no, you know, that was sort of a playground play, but there was no danger in it. You know, there was nobody around Hickman, and it was just kind of a savvy move. So I thought he was pretty polished all around in that game. The O-line, not as much, and we can get to that now. I mean, that's where I worry about this team, you know, going on the road is, can they deal with Oklahoma's speed, even though the OU defense isn't known as being a juggernaut by any means. They're going to have athletes and speed all over the place. And I'm sure they're going to show a lot of different looks to Nebraska's front and make those young guys figure it out in a hurry. And that's been sort of a struggle so far.
Yeah. I mean, that offensive line, do you anticipate it's the normal iteration we've seen through three games, or do you think they changed something up going into Oklahoma?
I guess if I were to predict, I would say the same starting five, but I do think there's a couple guys who have people in the shadows closer to them. And I would say, you know, Piper at left guard, who's a young player. Let's not forget that, but he's his third year in the program. And, you know, he has big expectations for himself, and he's probably been you would say choppy so far with his play, and they've moved Banks in there. I know you talked to Banks the other day. They moved him in at left guard. So that, you know, Banks is a guy they really like. So the fact that he's working at that spot specifically tells me that Greg Austin has sort of put the spotlight on it as like, hey, we have a man ready if you're not up to it.
Right.
And so, I think Turner Corcoran is going to be a great player too, but I think Turner himself has said, I haven't played as well as I need to. So that left side, I think, really needs to come along.
Yeah, it's surprising because I think a lot of the concern coming in is how Matt Sichterman would do on the right side, and not that they've been world beaters either. You know, Bryce Benhart had that unfortunate holding call that negated a touchdown in Saturday's game, and so they've got work there. But I think I was fairly confident Nebraska's left side would be at least – average, and maybe even a little bit better than that. And it's still early in the season, but this is going to be their toughest test. You know, they're not going to be able to physically overwhelm Oklahoma in the same way that they did against Fordham, or at least a stalemate like they had against Buffalo. And so that offensive line has to play well. And I did talk to Brant Banks, and he's someone that I think is itching for the opportunity to have an actual role that's more than just utility offensive lineman. And that's kind of where they have him right now. I mean, this is a guy that this year alone has practiced at right tackle, right guard, left tackle, and now left guard. I think that they clearly like him. They think that he has value for him. His ability to play multiple different positions is right there, but I think he wants a spot. And so if Ethan Piper comes out slow against Oklahoma or has issues, I don't know that Nebraska will hesitate to put Brant Banks in there. And I'm not saying that he's going to be better by any means, but at some point you've got to try something if it isn't working from week to week and you can't get it fixed in the middle of the week. And that kind of leads us right into the running game just in general. Coming off of that game against Fordham, I thought Marquis Stepp had sort of established himself with that job, that he was going to start and kind of be the guy. And that wasn't the case against Buffalo. He had a really struggled in the first half, didn't really play at all in the second half, and then Gabe Irvin finished with 10 carries and 56 yards. Do you at all have any indication as to what this running back room sort of looks like right now, Brian, three games in? Because it hasn't been near what Nebraska would have hoped. And the running backs themselves, no one has really sort of asserted themselves as you go into game four.
I think we got a sort of an answer why coaches were not as quick as everybody else last week to jump on the Marquis Stepp as RB1. And I'm not saying that Stepp might not still emerge as that guy, but I think it's very much a like Irvin Stepp combo right now with some Savion Morrison sprinkled in. The thing Matt Lubick said it today after practice. He said he thinks Irvin maybe got a little bit harsh criticism for the first game. I don't know if people are too harsh on him, but, you know, I think some people sort of judged him off of a game where, frankly, the backs didn't have a lot of space to work with. And so you've got this young guy in his first college game, and the first couple times out, he's not really getting a lot, you know, of opportunities to maybe show what he can do. On Saturday in the second half, I thought he did run with attitude, and you saw him with space, why he's exciting. And so, and they also think he's very good in pass pro in Lubick's eyes. So that's one of the reasons too, where he could separate himself. So Irvin and Stepp, I think, are your top two. This might be a game, I wonder if you see a little bit more Stepp, you know, cause it's, you know, he has been in these type of helmet games before, USC Notre Dame type of deal. But they're not afraid to throw Gabe in there. So you'd love to see him get some space on the outside and see if he could turn in a huge run.
Yeah, do you anticipate much Savion Morrison? This is sort of like a dumb question, but is there ever a benefit in getting a young player in a game in his home state like that? This is going to be a pretty emotionally charged Sevion Morrison for Saturday. Do you see that as a reason to play a guy?
Not just alone, but I think if he's right in the equation, I think he's not far behind those other
right,
two.
Yeah.
I really still think they're sorting it out. And so this might be a year long deal. They kind of talked in the fall camp about finding that bell cow and that one guy who's your 20 to 25 carries a game person. Maybe they do have that guy, but it switches off week to week, you know, like that might be what we're setting up for. So I wouldn't mind seeing a little Sevion, but I think right now he's third, but not by a long shot. I also think, and I don't know how healthy he'll be, but it sounded like Vokalek could come back this week.
Yeah.
And I think they've missed him. Like he's their best blocking tight end. He gives you a huge body there to go with your front five. And that's a guy who, you know, I think this run game's probably taken a dip, not just because of that, but I think we need to at least acknowledge that.
Is it too early to know on guys like Austin Allen and Xavier Betts and others about their status for Saturday?
What worries me about Austin is it's not – this is a good thing in a way because of health reasons, but it's not a deal where he gets to decide. You know, like if you have a head injury, it's not a matter of, hey, I want to play, coach. Yeah, I can make a go of it. It's did you pass the protocol, basically, whatever they do with the head test. So – that's what it was. Frost confirmed on Monday. So you're sort of at the mercy. He's at the mercy of what those tests say. And you know how those are. Sometimes that takes sometimes it takes week or weeks, plural. And that's where you get a little worried. I don't know on Betts, really unsure. Oliver Martin, it sounded promising today because Lubick said, we even kind of hoped he'd play last week. He's been taking a lot of mental reps. So I sort of think you might see Oliver and maybe Vokalek by the way they're talking, but I don't know beyond that.
Yeah. And it is a little bit tough because Nebraska is just seemingly losing a lot of these pass catchers that Adrian was supposed to have available to him. And it puts guys like Chris Hickman in a different position, in a different role, Nate Borkircher. And then you get into those wide receivers, which might mean more opportunity for Alante Brown and William Nixon as well, depending on the status of Omar Manning and Xavier Betts. So of course we will have any of that whenever we have it at,
you know what stinks though, Schaefer, is they think about it. Like, I know there's always this like narrative about Omar Manning never getting out there, but against Fordham, he started, yep. He had a few catches and we're like, okay, something's going to happen with him now. He's starting to go. And then he's in a boot. And then on Saturday, Xavier Betts, they get him the ball the second play and he makes a catch, even though he got called back. You could tell that there was sort of a concerted effort to involve him, and then he's hurt. So it's rough. I mean, it is, but yeah. On the other side, I'm looking forward to seeing if this defense, I think it can be top tier, but we'll see now. Are you top tier or not? This is a good week to figure that out.
So last week we kind of went into it and I talked a lot about how I felt like the inside linebackers needed to have a good game. Is there a position group in specifics as you look at this Oklahoma team where you're like, yeah, that guy or that group, it's a big test for them. Obviously the defense as a whole, sure, but anything individually?
I think you immediately go to the secondary just because you know you're going against a first round arm in Spencer Rattler, a guy who's, I think, he could end up being a number one pick, you know, the way the NFL goes. And the thing about him and all the coaches and players have talked about it this week is he extends plays. He is the type of guy who will stay in the pocket and kind of bounce around and keep a play going for a couple extra ticks and get his wide receivers a chance to get open. And so Nebraska's DBs are going to have to cover beyond just your initial, like, you know, your usual time covering. There's going to be those extra two or three beats where they're going to have to stick with receivers who know that their quarterback has a gift for sort of buying a little extra time. And Oklahoma's made a ton of big plays off of Rattler extending plays and then guys getting open. So that's going to be a huge test for a secondary that I think has been okay so far. But I think this is the week where you want to see Cam Taylor-Britt I think he's had kind of a tough start to this year and he's probably pressing a bit. You want to see him be that dude who is like, you know, the best corner in the Big Ten type of player.
Yeah. Along with that, they're going to need help from some of the pass rush. I mean, it's just Nebraska had seven hurries on Saturday, but no sacks. They've had, I think, two total sacks since Brandon Peters' injury. And that was in the first quarter against Illinois. So if you look at it over the last 11 quarters, one sack, and that was a Quentin Newsome cornerback blitz. Like, that's just rough. So it is a you got to get more from your pass rush. I mean, the way the year started, Brian. I mean, they had those quick couple sacks against Illinois. Bo'Darius Payne looked like someone to be reckoned with. Garrett Nelson was getting involved on stuff. And then it just kind of has not completely gone away because, like I said, they had a bunch of hurries. But is it as simple as teams are just passing really quickly? Or do you feel like they just don't get enough pressure consistently?
I think there's probably a happy medium between what you're saying and what sort of coaches are saying over there. Because I agree, like, you'd like to see a little bit more. And I also understand maybe I'm just too trusting of what I hear sometimes. But – Shenander and those guys will say those last two QBs have made a real effort to get the ball out very fast, and it's made it difficult to get there. That said, this has to be a game we just mentioned. Spencer Rattler is a guy who trusts himself to stay in the pocket a little bit and kind of use his feet to buy some time. He is going to give an opportunity, I think, for Nebraska to get home if they can do it. And if there is a question mark, and I say if, for OU, I know through the offseason reading about that team, there were some moving parts, like in the interior of their O-line. And so, you know, Damian Daniels is playing at a high level. If he could wreck shop a little bit and open up some things for other guys, you know, maybe Nebraska can get some stuff done there.
Real quickly, Brian, special teams still a mixed bag. You got Brendan Franke, who largely has given Nebraska everything you would have wanted from a kickoff specialist. You've gotten Daniel Cherney as his best game for the Huskers on Saturday with several punts inside the 20, including a very nice drop that fell right around the 1 or the 2 yard line. But Connor Culp, you still don't know what quite you're getting there, which is unfortunate because he had such a good season last year. And then the punt return game. What do you make of special teams a quarter of the way into the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. And unfortunately, sometimes special teams can come down to one or two guys just having a tough go. Like, and I don't know if Culp has the yips or what. The weird thing is, after the game on Saturday, he said on a couple that he's pushed right, he said, "I feel like I'm hitting them well. You know, like, I feel like they're coming off my foot right, and they're not." And so that kind of almost worries me more when a guy sort of believes he's on it, but he's not. I don't know what you do beyond you hope it's – you just hope he's got that mindset where he can overcome it and he's got that stuff for you this weekend. I think you make a change at punt returner, and everybody who covers this program loves Cam and his personality, but right now he's pressing back there. It's a position where you got to have confidence, and I would – at this moment, put Ture back there and fair catch the heck out of that thing, you know, yep. And that's what I would do.
Get yourself the ball, get yourself an opportunity at the very least. All right, quick pod. We've got some moving pieces going on, but of course we'll have plenty of coverage on the website at Husker 24/7. People will be able to check that out. They should do that. And the Husker Hypecast will be on later this week as well. We'll have a special guest. We'll have our full group. People will be able to enjoy that on Friday. Brian, we will catch you next time. Husker 24/7 podcast will be back later this week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.